I want you to turn to the 100th Psalm. Marty Bussey mentioned this on Sunday. She had no idea what I was preaching tonight. And there's some sermons that I don't care to tell you that I feel certain things about it, but then God brings the right things at the right time to confirm that's the message I want you to preach. The 100th Psalm, I don't know what your Bible says before it starts into the first verse, but my Bible has a connotation as to what many of the Psalms are about, and it's very plain on this. It says in my Bible, and probably yours, a psalm of praise. So he makes it clear what this is. It's a psalm of praise. So he doesn't want you to be in doubt. What he wants to do in this psalm is that he wants to praise the Lord. And it's a very short psalm. I preached part of this, the sheep of his pasture. If you remember a few years ago, I preached on the different kinds and different types of sheep, the sheep of his pasture, and where we fit into that. But out of this series of the psalms that I keep going back to, this is one of the messages that God touched my heart about to deal in this series, because I don't like to just stay in one thing, one right after another. I think I like the challenge, and I hope that you like the challenge as well. I don't mean to skip back and forth, and you say, well, if you preach it all from start to end, then people can follow it all the way through. There's not very many people would come that faithful anyway, and the way life is today, I'm not being ugly about it. It's just a fact. So I'm only going to get part of you anyway, so I might as well do it when God says to do it, and that's what I'm trying to tell you. But in this psalm, he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. This is how Lola came tonight. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, for his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. There was a service that not too long ago that two of the couples here in the church, I don't want to embarrass them, but I'm glad they were there with Candy and I in this particular service. We were all there in worship. I wasn't preaching that night. But we all went to church together. And in that particular service, wasn't very long till I nudged Candy and I said, look across the way. And there was a guy sitting there and he had a stack of newspapers this tall. And through the whole service, he sat there reading these newspapers. And I'm glad. I mean, the couples that are here, I don't want to embarrass them, but you know, if I have to, they can confirm, because I couldn't help but tell. I probably shouldn't. I apologize to them. I shouldn't have mentioned to it, because it probably bugged them as much as it bugged me. I mean, how can the glory be falling all around you sitting there reading a newspaper? And I've been working on this sermon. The title of the sermon tonight is What to Bring to Church. What should you bring to church? Because really this 100th Psalm tells us what we need to bring to church. What I needed to come to church with tonight, this psalm tells me, and what I need to come to church with every certain. Now, I've seen people bring just about everything to church. And I'm not being critical of some of this. I know those hard stages of life where you're raising kids and you feel like I don't even hear a word that's going on. And when you get ready to bring those little ones, you got to pack up all the toys and all the snacks and everything else. And you know, when you come, you've got to have it all together, and it's a chore just to get it all together, and you have to bring those kind of things. I understand that. And it's good that you're prepared, because you've got children, you've got your children here. I'm not being critical of that. God bless you. You may think they're not getting much, but they hear more than what you give them credit for. And you'll find out as they get older, a lot of things that they repeat are a lot of things that they've seen. They saw it, and you think, man, they were so little, I didn't even know they understood any of that. But I just want you to know, parents, that your labor's not in vain. I guess that's what I'm saying. I would rather raise my children, my grandchildren, in church and doing the best I can to have them in an atmosphere of church as no matter what you have to bring to keep them there. And I know they're kids, and sometimes I preach long, we sing long, and kids are kids. Their attention spans only so long, but we're all that way. But I understand that. But some things I don't understand, I guess. I don't really understand why people bring a newspaper to church. I don't understand that. I don't understand why people, I've seen them do a lot of things. You know, I've seen people balance their checkbook during church. Oh, that hit. You know somebody in this church that did that, didn't you? Oh, I'm sorry. Somebody here tonight did that. I might as well quit. You're not in any mood for preaching tonight. I remember I went years ago. I was preaching a small church and it was dead. I mean, it was just dead. And only thing that's worse than being in a dead church is with a bunch of people that don't care if they're there is when they bring the wrong stuff. And the whole time I kept hearing this noise, click, 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 click. Man, it was driving me crazy. I mean, it's an old church. They had hardwood floors and had wooden pews and the ceilings were wooden, and everything that you did just echoed through the whole church. And I thought, what is that? So I get up to preach, and when I get up to preach, I keep hearing it. And finally, I locate the area that I think it's from. I look back, and so help me, this guy has taken his shoes off, his socks off, and has his fingernail clippers out, clipping his toenails. I'm telling you, you can't make that kind of stuff up. There's things that we bring to church that probably we'd be better off if we didn't bring it. Would you agree with that? Then there's some things that it's good that you bring to church with you. For example, I hope you brought one of these tonight. I'm not going to make the mistake that one pastor made. And he asked the congregation, he's encouraging them to bring their Bible, said, whatever you do, when you come to church, bring your Bible, bring your Bible. And he got up and he said, and why do we bring our Bible? An old boy spoke up and said, because we don't trust you, preacher. Checking up on him on what he was saying. That's what he was saying to them. But go ahead, check up on me. Bring your Bible. Nothing wrong with bringing your Bible. I'm not against it. A lot of churches I go into, they put the scripture on screens. It's easier for people to see. But yet, I'm glad that we still come to a church that we carry Bibles in. Doesn't make us better, but it's a witness to our community. I think the community sees something when we take one of these and put them under our arm and we go out. I know there's places now that they don't want you to bring one of these, but you can still bring it to church. Go ahead and bring it with you. And there's something about holding this in your hand and being able to find a certain place and know where it's at. That's why that we need to stay in this old Bible that I've got. I keep saying it's worn out. I've got to keep a rubber band around it just to keep the pages from falling out. But you know what? That's okay. I'm glad that I've got a Bible that I read and a Bible that I love and a Bible that I carry to church. So there's some things that we need to bring to church. But then the psalmist tells us there's some things that if you're really going to have church, you've got to bring it with you. And if you don't bring it with you, you're not going to have church. Well, what are they? The good news is I'll probably only give you one or two, and we'll see how it goes from there. The first thing that you need to bring to church is a right spirit. You'll find that in verses 1 and 2. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You need to come with a right spirit. You know, the right spirit that we have is that attitude that we have toward God and his house and what we're here to do. Why are you here tonight? To praise the Lord. That's exactly, if you're saved, that's why you ought to be here. Now, I know we're here to hear the word, but the word ought to make us praise the Lord. I know we're here to hear singing, but the singing ought to make us praise the Lord. We're here to hear testimonies, but the testimonies ought to make us praise the Lord. We're here to pray, but our praying ought to bring us to a point where we praise the Lord. If we're praying in the Spirit, preaching in the Spirit, singing in the Spirit, testifying in the Spirit, if we've got the right spirit when we come in, I don't have a doubt about it. Lola Sparks came in with the right spirit tonight. There's something about our spirit being right about this. I haven't come tonight because it's a drudgery. I haven't come because it's a chore. I've come because I love the Lord and I love God's house. And I can say I've come to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, because when we have the right spirit, it changes our view of everything. I saw a documentary and then I read some of the writings about Ray Kroc. Everyone knows who Ray Kroc is. Ray Kroc, of course, is responsible for a little hamburger chain that spread around the world called McDonald's. And most people think Ray Kroc started McDonald's, but Ray Kroc didn't start McDonald's. It was actually Ray Kroc, he sold multi-mixers for a living, which is what you mix milkshakes with. And he was selling these multi-mixers, and he heard about a little hamburger stand where two brothers out in California, Dick and Mac McDonald, that was their name. They had a little hamburger stand, and they were selling 40 milkshakes at a time. And that meant with those multi-mixers that they were buying multiple multi-mixers, and he got in his mind, I want to find out what kind of place can do that kind of business, because if I could get restaurants like that set up, then I could sell more multi-mixers and make more money. That was his agenda to begin with. Well, when he went and saw what they were doing, they changed the whole way. They'd gone from, their business was originally with car hops, where they'd come out and wait on people. They had a big menu. They cut their menu down to like 9 items was all that they had on the menu, and it became self-serve. Everyone said, no one will come to a place that's self-serve, but they found out it's faster. They're the ones that's developed all of the instruments that's used to put condiments on sandwich, you know, where that they can come through and squeeze the trigger, put the mustard, the ketchup, do it fast. They made an assembly line like Ford had for automobiles, and that's how they produced everything. Well, from that, Ray Kroc took that idea and he took it back to Chicago. It started working. Before long, he realized that they didn't have the same business plan, but convinced them to sell McDonald's to him. And when he bought the McDonald's, opened his first stand, somebody else, they had licensed part of it too in the state of Illinois, so he had to pay $25,000 to them to get out of debt. Long story short, he was willing to do it because he believed in what he was doing. He thought he had something that would help sell multi-mix machines, and he thought, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this big. And before you know it, it started to grow and it started to expand. And sure enough, he had hit a gold mine. But what amazed me in the Ray Kroc story, maybe some of you have heard that and heard what I'm about to tell you even, but I wondered, how did they originally decide where to expand? Where did they go with their next store? How did they know where to expand to? How did they know where would be the best location? This is what they said in this documentary and what is recorded about Ray Kroc. He would take the company plane and he would fly over cities and he would tell the pilot, get as low as you can get so I can see these little cities, these little villages. And what he would do is he would count the steeples on churches. And he said, when I looked at the steeples on churches, that told me that was a place that was family oriented. That was a place of hardworking people that would appreciate what I was doing. And he said, when I was up above looking down on the steeples, he said, it's as though God would speak to me and say, that's where to build the next McDonald's. Can I tell you something? If you need some direction tonight, you've got to come with the right spirit. And the right spirit says this, I'm not going up to the top of the hill to go to Rubyville. I'm going a little higher than that tonight. I'm going to leave this place for a little while and I'm
I'm going to get above this world that I'm living in, and I'm going to sit in heavenly places, and I'm going to look down on this world. I can't escape the world, but I can get above the world. I cannot escape the problems that I have, but if my spirit is right, I can soar into the heavenlies tonight. And when we soar into the heavenlies and we make a joyful noise to the Lord, then suddenly we see God give us the direction that we need. Well, what's that mean though? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. See, we always tie it to the singing. But make the joyful noise and the singing are two separate things. You'll find to have the right spirit, there's three things that he talks about with our spirit. First of all, to make a joyful noise, he's talking about a shouting spirit. The Hebrew phrase, make a joyful noise, doesn't have a thing to do with singing. Not a thing. We do that a lot and talk about a lot, but it doesn't have a thing to do with singing. If you look at it literally translated, that it was a familiar phrase to many of the Hebrew people. What it means is to raise a shout. To lift your head and shout loud. It was a cry that was given by soldiers when they would come home from a victory. After they won the victory, they would come back into the camp with a loud shout to say, God has given us the victory. So what he's saying is, when we come with the right spirit, we can come with a loud shout. I'm sorry you don't like shouting. I'm sorry it gets on your nerves. But if you're going to heaven, you better get used to it. And by the way, if you're going to be here in this church, you better get used to it, because we've got something to shout about. May I remind you, every one of us have something to shout about. We have to be able to say, I can shout that I have this wonderful salvation. I can shout that my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I can shout that God has given me victory in my soul. I can shout that I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I can shout that I go to a church that has great liberty. I'm telling you, you've got a right and you've got an obligation to shout to the Lord. Make a joyful noise. To raise your voice. Glory. To raise your voice. Oh, you're judging me. I'm not judging you. This is not an invitation. That's where you're wrong. You think, oh, we're at a church and we've got an invitation to praise God. No, it's not an invitation. It's a command. God said, if I've done anything for you, you ought to lift your head and you ought to shout out and say, thank you, Lord, for being so good to me. Oh, bless his name. Thank you, Lord, that we have something to shout about. It's more than just the fact that we're not going to hell. It's that God woke us up this morning, and God has taken care of us through the day, and God has given us the right and the liberty to shout. I'm telling you, we've got something to shout about. I dare you to do it one time. I dare you to do it one time. One time. One time. One time. I didn't tell you to. Well, glory to God. Glory. Every one of us should have come into this place like Lola did tonight. Well, glory to God. Something to shout about. Not only a shouting spirit. Praise God. something to shout about. A shouting spirit, a singing spirit. We're coming into his presence with singing. Now this is where some of you are wrong. You say, I can't sing. God is not talking about the ability to sing. God is talking about the fact that you have a song. It's not how well you sing it. It's that you have a song. The psalmist put it this way. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet on the rock, established my going. He hath put a new song in my mouth, and many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Not only do we have something to shout about, we've got something to sing about. Why do you think the devil's messing with our music so much? Trying to change the music of the church to get it away from music and songs of praise. To try to get it to other types of music. Music of discouragement and defeat. I'm telling you, I don't see how some of you listen to that stuff you listen to. It's the most depressing stuff I've ever heard in my life. I don't want to hear how tough life is and how bad life is. I hear that every day of my life. I didn't come to this place tonight to hear all your problems and all your troubles. I've come tonight to hear how good that God is. I've come to hear somebody that's got a song because of the fact they know where they came from, and they know where they're at, and they know where they're going to. That's why we've come to this place. We've got something to shout about. And we've got something to sing about. A singing spirit, a shouting spirit, and a serving spirit. That's the right spirit. He not only said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He not only said, come before his presence with singing. But he also said, serve the Lord with gladness. See, when you've got a shouting spirit and you've got a singing spirit, you'll have a serving spirit. To serve the Lord, that literally that means to be in bondage to. I don't know how you feel about it, but I feel like I owe God something. I mean, God's done a lot for me. And if I spend the rest of my life preaching his gospel, and it may come to the point that I can't preach and I lose my voice and I lose my strength and I'm not able to go, but I want to tell you, I'll still serve him with my heart and I'll still serve him with gladness. I don't have to serve him, I want to serve him. I didn't have to come to church, I want to come to church. I don't have to preach, I want to preach. I want to do my little bit for a great big God to say, I'm not only going to do it, but I'm going to do it with gladness. I am happy in my soul that I know I'm on my way to heaven. I am glad that I know that I'm saved. We are to serve the Lord with gladness. You stay in depression too long and discouragement too long, and you lose the gladness too long, you'll not only lose the joy of the Lord, you'll not only lose your shout, and you'll not only lose your song, but you'll lose your desire to serve God. It's a process of the enemy. First, he takes your shout. Now, he does it in all kinds of ways. Sometimes he does it through innocent people that say things. You know, they're not thinking when they speak. They're saying things. And I'm gonna say this as a word of advice to you. You can get mad at me if you want to. Do whatever you want to. I don't want you to get mad at me. But I'm trying to tell you something that'll help you here. Don't you ever make fun of people that praise God. Don't you ever make fun of people that shout. I'm telling you, don't you do it. I've shared it in this church before. I was in a service one time, and people don't like the phrase. That's okay. I think Brian preached on here a while back, be not drunken with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. And I've been in services where people were filled with the Holy Ghost. And I've been in service where I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. Any of you know much about a drunk, you'll know he likens that experience unto someone that's under the influence. Someone said, well, I wouldn't want to do anything that I lose control of. What's the matter with you? I'm not talking about the world controlling us. I'm talking about God control. If he's controlling, we're not going to do anything indecent. We're not going to do anything out of order. It's all going to be just fine. Someone said, you're going to keep going out there. You're going to have wildfire. I haven't seen no wildfire in years. I'm not worried about that. I am worried about no fire. See a lot of that places I go. And we got in a service, and I'm telling you, the power of the Holy Ghost came. And an old boy, he got full of the Holy Ghost. And he got so full of the Holy Ghost, they had taken an offering and they set the offering plates in that church on the communion table. And when he got blessed, he dumped the money out on the communion table. Not a dime of it hit the floor. He dumped the money out on the communion table, took the offering plate and put it on his head. He grabbed the Christian flag, was marching around the church, singing Onward Christian Soldier. On the way home that night, I mentioned to Candy, I said, wasn't that the most unusual thing that you ever saw in your life? I wasn't even making fun of him. I just meant that I hadn't seen anything like it. But God checked my heart on it. The next night when I got up to preach, I looked down and I couldn't get my eyes off the offering plate. I couldn't care how much was in it. It's not because the offering plate was there. And God said, you check yourself, because if you ever do make fun of someone, I'll make you dump that offering plate out, and I'll make you put it on your head, and I'll make you grab the flag and march around the church. You be careful who you make fun of. I remember talking to people time and time again that they'd say, oh, I used to cringe when mama would shout. I'd get down in the pew and be embarrassed as I sat with my friends when my mother shouted. But now, preacher, I shout more than my mama ever shouted. Be careful what you make fun of. Be careful when you make fun of little short, fat preachers that get red-faced and holler and hoop and jump about, because guess what? You might have to get red-faced and jump and holler and hoop about. Be careful when you make fun of people that praise God. Don't do it. Have the right spirit. For the life of me, I don't know why anyone would be upset with somebody being happy in the Lord. But it is just about gone from the church world today. Kenny and I went to a church while we were on vacation. And I think this is the greatest compliment that you could ever be paid. Kenny and I, we didn't know where we were sitting. We were sitting by the pastor's family and we didn't know it. And they had reserved seating and they just took us in. A lady knew us, set us down, and they got to singing. And man, I'm telling you, if you knew this pastor, the way that he plays and he sings, and boy, I'm telling you, I couldn't help it. The Holy Ghost hit me. I'd never been inside that church, but the Holy Ghost hit me. Boy, before long, I found myself on my feet, and Candy was on her feet, and we were shouting and praising God, having a time, people smacking us on the back and shouting together and having a time. They were having a time. We were having a time. After the service was over, there was an elderly black lady sitting on the front, and after the service was over, she turned around and she said, Mister, I don't know who you are, and I don't know where you come from, but I sure love going to church with you. I thought to myself, may God always help each one of us, for somebody to look at us and say, I don't know where you came from, but I sure do like going to church with you, because you've got the right spirit. It's more than how we act. It's what flows out of our heart. People sense it and they feel it and they know it.